I want you to go back to the book of Judges, and we've been talking about Gideon. And some of you that are visiting, thank you, gentlemen. Gideon, when he started out, when the angel come to him, he called him, he said, "Hail Gideon, you mighty man of valor, you mighty man of war." Gideon was hiding when this took place. So we talked about how God sees us in a different light than we see ourselves sometimes. And I talked about the word redoubtable. And I've been using that word, man. That's my favorite word ever. Besides Jesus, redoubtable is next. Redoubtable means to be one that is greatly feared by the enemy. A warrior, man. And God is raising up warriors. And guys, y'all know you've been here. The Lord's been speaking this to us for months now about fighting, taking a fighting position. Even on Wednesday nights, he's just orchestrated everything. So I'm really excited. And we see that Gideon is getting ready to face a huge army. So I want you to go down to verse 9. And the title of my message is The Sword of Gideon. The Sword of Gideon. And it says here in verse 9, it says, "The Midianites had set up their camp in the valley below where Gideon was." Remember, Gideon was at Harod, which meant shaky, scared, frightened, trembling. So this army had been coming for 7 years and had been stealing everything they had. So here they come again. They're ready. They're camped out and they're getting ready to come in and steal everything. But this time it's going to be a little bit different. Some of you, I've been telling you, this time it's going to be different. The enemy used to come in and just steal from you and rob from you and use people to mess you up. But this time it's going to be different. Why? Because God. Amen. And it says this, "During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp. I am going to hand it over to you." See, it's getting real now. For some of you this week, it got real. Now, don't nobody take this wrong, and I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking from experience. Boy, it's easy to get cocky when you feel the Holy Ghost. I'm just being honest with you. It's easy to get cocky when you come into a good service and you leave and all the, if I had hair on my head to be standing up, all the hair on your arms just standing up, and man, you got a good word, and man, you're ready to go fight, and all week long you fighting, you punching the devil, you winning people, you talking to people, praying for people, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, you get slapped upside the head. See, Gideon, I mean, we see it. Gideon had put out some fleeces and God had answered the fleeces. God spoke to him. Told him what he was going to do. I mean, God was speaking to him. And now it's getting ready to get real, dude. He says he's done cut his army down from 32,000 to 300 people. And now he says, get up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Ain't that what they say all the time? Let's go. Catch a touchdown pass, hit a home run, hit a three-pointer, win the game. Let's go. Y'all ain't as excited as I am. That's what I feel. Well, I'm serious, y'all. When I come in here, that's what I feel like. Let's go. Let's go. Let's kick it. Punk. I get tired of seeing him trying to mess with my people. Y'all are my people. I ain't your king, but I am your shepherd. So you're my people, and I'm your pastor. Amen? And he says this. It says, "I am going to hand them over to you." But listen to verse 10. "But what if you are afraid to attack?" God knows what Gideon's thinking. God knows everything about it. He said, "What if you're afraid to attack?" He said, "Then go down to the camp where the enemy is. Take your servant Pura. Listen to what they are saying. After that, you will," what? "You will not be afraid to attack the camp." He says, just if you're still afraid, bro, just go down to the camp. God's done went before him. God's done set it up. God's done took care of anything. Only thing Gideon's got to do is just be obedient. Man, we need to hear that. God's done took care of everything. Just be obedient. Just be. How many of y'all have ever told your kids, just do what I ask you to do and I'll do anything for you. I'll help you. I'll love you. I'll buy stuff. I mean, just do what I ask you to do. See, my mama didn't say that. My mama didn't say, Scott, please, just do what I asked you to do. My mama didn't say, one, two, two and a half, two and three quarters. No, my mama said, whap. My mama said, whap. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. What you want me to do? That's another message. And I will preach it probably, but he said, listen to what they're saying. After that, you will not be afraid to attack the camp. So Gideon and his servant Pura went down to the edge of the camp. That tells us that he was afraid. Because he said, if you're still afraid, just go down and listen. If he wasn't afraid, he'd have just said, hey, let's go whoop them. He was still scared. I'm going to go there in a few minutes. It says the Midianites had set up their camp in the valley. So had the Amalekites and all the other tribes from the east. Listen to this. There were so many of them that they looked like large numbers of locusts, like the grains of sand on the seashore. Their camels couldn't even be counted. Gideon's got 300 men in the valley of trembling, scared to death, back at his camp, and God says, take Pura and go down there and listen. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Guys, we cannot get our eyes on the situation. I told y'all the other couple, I don't know how long ago it's been, but I told you that we got to look through spiritual eyes and not carnal eyes. We are spiritual creatures. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, we are supposed to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We're supposed to call those things that are not as though they were. We're supposed to see things the way God sees them. Y'all ain't getting excited, and you need to be excited. Gideon goes down. This is awesome. It says Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend about his dream. Just in time. Boy, wasn't he lucky? Wasn't that a coincidence? That he walked right down under the enemy's camp. Had to get close enough to hear. If it was me, I'd have had to get right real close because I can't hear good. Gideon said, I'm going to listen. He said, God told him, said, go listen to what they're saying. So Gideon got close and he says that a friend was telling a guy about a dream he had. He said, I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came rolling into the camp of Midian. It hit a tent with great force. The tent turned over and fell down flat. His friend replied, that can only be the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash. Gideon is from Israel. God has handed the Midianites over to him. He has given him the whole camp. God has just been so faithful. He's been like showing me stuff and giving me stuff. And then they get up and sing the song, God Goes Before You. I prayed it before. How God goes before us. God goes before you to move your enemies out of the way. You just be obedient. He's going to go before you. He said he would. And that's what he does with Gideon. Who gave the guy the dream? They got so many people. Wonder how many people saw that dream. See, the Bible doesn't say this, but this is Scott James version, okay? I believe that God gave a bunch of them that dream the night before. And I believe when they got up in the morning, they got around the campfire and they started frying them up some fish or whatever they do. And they started talking, man, I had a crazy dream last night and I sure didn't have no pizza. Some of y'all get that later. You know what I'm saying? They say pizza caused you to have. They didn't have pizza, I don't think. But he said, I believe that some of them got up by the fire and they said, man, I had this crazy dream last night, man. And then God showed me Gideon. Now let me go back for just a minute. When the angel came to Gideon and he told him he was a mighty man of God, the first thing Gideon done was said, where's this God you're talking about? We've heard about him. We ain't seen nothing yet. He's deserted us. And then the angel looked at him again. He said, no, you're a mighty man of God. God's going to use you to deliver the children of Israel. He said, how could he use me when I am the least in the tribe of Manasseh? Manasseh is the least in my group, and my father is the least in Manasseh, meaning I'm the least in the whole 12 tribes of Israel. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But yet the enemy knows about him. The enemy's scared. God saw Gideon the way he was supposed to be, not the way he was. Some of you walk around scared all the time. God's like, no, man, you're redoubtable. You're a mighty man of God. You're a mighty woman of God. Quit letting the devil punk you down and push you around. Some of you need to fight back. We've been talking about this. Some of you need to fight back. The Spirit of God is inside of you. You're a fighter. We've been talking about that and talking about that, and I know the Lord is wanting to do that work. He said that they heard about Gideon. They saw the dream, and all of them talked about it. And so Gideon gets confirmation. Why does it, oh Lord help me, why does it take us hearing from some human when God's already told us what to do? If we hear from some human, it's like, oh wow, then I know I'm supposed to do that. I mean, just think about it. Look at everything Gideon had been through. Oh, I know I ain't the only one in here that thought, man, if God would have done all that, I'd been good to go. Gideon saw that thing. He saw the two fleeces and everything. God spoke to him himself. And yet he goes down and he hears a man tell about a dream. And then this is what happens. Gideon heard the man explain what the dream meant. Then Gideon bowed down and worshiped. I can see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. That's what Gideon was singing. All over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. So why should I fear? The evidence is here. Y'all need to get this in your spirit. So why should I fear? The evidence is here. Amen. And then it went on and it said, open our eyes that I may see. Open our eyes that I may see. We've been preaching and preaching and singing and prophesying. Open the church's eyes. Open New Vision's eyes. Open those that follow us on faith. Open their spiritual eyes so they can see the way God sees. Gideon's convinced. Now, I've said this so many times. When you get a Christian convinced, you got something. The problem in the church is we've heard the stories, we've read the book, we've heard the preacher's messages, we've heard the pretty songs, but are you really convinced? See, because when you get, I'm just going to tell you the truth, when you get convinced, all hell can break loose and you're still okay. The song you were singing about, I never remember the words, but boy, when you're singing, I was like, goodbye, that's good. Nothing's going to stop me, or enough, or something, you're enough. I don't know what the words were. We'll get it later. Go back and watch the video. He's enough. In the storm, in the fire, he's enough. Whatever you're going through, he's enough. But are you convinced that he's enough? Oh, he did it for Pastor Scott. But I don't know if he'll do it for me. Yeah, he will. God's not a respecter of person. I told you before, I'll tell you this again and again and again. It ain't how much God loves you, it's how much you love God. Well, I done gone to meddling now. He says this. Then Gideon bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and he called out, "Get up! The Lord has handed the Midianites over to us," or over to you. Get up! He got down and worshiped. Then he got up to fight. Some of you pray, and I know that's how we fight. Some of you pray, but then when you get out of your prayer closet, you get out of your car to go into work, you leave all that back there. And you go into work and you get beat up all day long. You let them cuss around you. You let them tell dirty jokes around you. You let them talk about God. You let them call God's name in vain. Oh, you're just praying to him over there. You love enough to pray to him, but are you man or woman enough to stand up for him? Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? Well, I don't want to cause no problems. They are. Well, if I talk about Jesus in front of people, they get offended. I get offended when they talk about my Jesus. They ain't no better than me. I believe what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You go cuss in front of me, I'm going to preach in front of you. My preaching is going to trump your cussing, I promise you. Because you're going to get so miserable being around me, you're either going to get in or get out. And you know what? What some of you Christians need to do, or you call yourself a Christian, you need to get in or get out. Quit playing games. Help me, Jesus. You bring a reproach on the house of God. You bring a reproach on God himself. When you say one thing and you talk one way and then you go out and you live another way, you just bring a reproach on the house of God and on God. I'm so glad that I don't preach with notes. Let the Holy Ghost move. Who are you standing with this morning? Who are you standing with this morning? Are you one of the 300 or are you one of the 30-something thousand that he sent home because they were scared and afraid? That song, Evidence of His Goodness, I wrote this down this morning. I've heard that song, I don't know how many times. It says, "Fear may come, but fear will leave." Gideon was afraid. I would have been too. And if you say you wouldn't have been, bless God, you're holier than now, a lot holier than I am. We'd have been afraid. You walk outside, you go down, and all these fires are standing around, and all these, you got all these camps and everything. It says that you couldn't even number their camels and all these people around. And you go down, and you're going to slip down to their camp, and you see all that. Don't tell me you wouldn't be afraid. Fear came, but fear had to leave. The problem with some of you is you let fear stay there. You let worry. We sung that song about fear and worry. Nah, man. What have you got to be worried about? I saw something this morning or yesterday, and it said, some of you have lived a whole year, your first time you've been afraid to die. But what you didn't realize is you spent a whole year and was afraid to live. Spent a whole year afraid to die, but really what you did was spend a whole year afraid to live. Ooh. Ooh. You hit a nerve there, preacher. You bad. Amen. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. I'm not saying, I told y'all, be harmless as doves and wise as a serpent. But you can't pick and choose where you wise at and where you, never mind, I'm going to go on. He said, get up. The Lord has handed the Midianites over to you. Gideon separated the three men into three fighting groups. Now, let me ask you something spiritually. If I was to separate y'all into fighting groups, y'all ready to fight? What are you going to fight with? See, some of y'all, come on now. Y'all, some of y'all like me used to like to scrap. You know, I mean, you know, you didn't go look for a fight, but the fight came, you was like, okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But we got to fight spiritually. Some of you would physically fight. I know you would, man. Somebody come in here and done something. I've done told the police. They told me not to let that one guy come to church. I said, man, somebody comes in our church. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to keep the men from beating a mess out of them if they try to hurt somebody. That's the men I got in my church. I got a bunch of rednecks. You know why? Because I'm a redneck. But Gideon wasn't being a redneck. Gideon was trusting God. When Gideon said, get up, come on, he wasn't saying we're going to go fight like this. He didn't even tell him to get a sword. He's sending 300 men out and didn't even give them a sword. You say, why did he give them? Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm getting ready to tell you. Get up, the Lord has handed them over to you. Gideon separated 300 men into three fighting groups. He put a trumpet and an empty jar into the hands of each man, and he put a torch inside of each jar. Yeah, okay. Y'all got to think like I'm thinking, man. I'm out there with Gideon. I love Gideon. I mean, I trust Gideon, but Gideon comes back and he says, get up, boys. We're going to go fight them. This is what you're going to use. I'm going to give you a shofar, and I'm going to give you a jar, and I want you to get ready because we're going to light that fire. I'd say, hey, hang on for a minute. Can I go back with the other couple thousand and you get somebody else to take my place? Would that be cool? 300 against, what have we been preaching about? God of the impossible. God sent them all back because he wanted to get the credit. Now he comes out to them and, I mean, come on, y'all. You know them people was tripping. He brings a jar out and a shofar and a match to light the, what in the world? Bill, when you was in the military, if they'd have brought you that and said, hey, let's go out and fight these people, you'd have looked at them and said, I'll pass. That's what he gave them. You know why? Because God don't fight like we fight. God don't need us to swing a sword. I mean, a word. But I mean, God don't need us to go out and fight. God done went before him. He done give him a dream. He done set them up. He told Gideon, I'm going to give them to you. He didn't tell Gideon he's going to have to fight. He said, I'm going to give them to you. Some of you, God's wanting to give you the victory. He's just wanting to give you the victory. And you're sitting back, just wailing. And he's saying, no, man. We don't fight that way. And then he goes on, he says this. Watch me, he told them. Do what I do. I love that because he was a leader. He said, do what I do. And I've told y'all before, I'll never ask you to do something I won't do myself. That's a hypocrite. I may not like doing it, but I'll do it. He said, watch me, he told them. Do what I do. I'll go to the edge of the enemy's camp. Then do exactly as I do. And everyone with me will blow our trumpets. Trumpets were shofars. They were a ram's horn. And they were to call, a call to war, a call to battle. They were used when they celebrated a new king. And it says this, do exactly as I say do, and everyone with me will blow our trumpets. Then blow your trumpets from your positions all around. You know what's wrong in the church today? Nobody wants to stay in their position. Don't shout me down. Nobody wants to stay in their position. See, 100 men went with Gideon, and 100 men went somewhere, and another 100. You had three groups, and one group went with Gideon. What if the other 200 was to know, I won't be in Gideon's group? You know what? I had somebody tell me here one time, we was going out doing visitation and stuff, and I found out real quick, people don't want you to come to their house. They don't. I mean, it is what it is. We was going out on visitation and stuff. And there's a Tuesday night that I couldn't go, and I called the guy and said, I couldn't go. He said, well, don't tell everybody, because if you do, nobody will come. I've heard that on Sundays and Wednesdays too. And you know what I told him? I said, if they only come because of me, they ain't worth a crap anyway. I don't want them going out representing Jesus in our church. Yeah, I said it. I meant it. What if they would have started complaining and I want to be in Gideon's group? I want to be with such and such. I want to do this. It says they all took their positions. You need to take your position, not my position. You can't walk in my anointing no more than I can walk in yours. I've seen preachers, friends of mine, try to be somebody else. Be yourself, man. You're unique. Why you want to be somebody else? Probably in private, they stink. Oh, yes, I said it. There's a lot of people that you see that you think hung the moon, and in private, they ain't got it together. Okay. You got a jar, you got a torch, you got a shofar, and you got a set of lungs, because he said, then blow your trumpets from your positions all around the camp. They went going to surround the camp. He said, and shout the battle cry for the Lord and for Gideon. Now, as soon as they said that, church people would have said, well, I'm done. What's that preacher thinking? We're supposed to be serving him or something. We're calling out Gideon. We're supposed to be talking about the Lord. Don't look at me like that. Y'all would do the same thing. If I told you something, say, for the Lord and Pastor Scott, y'all would look at me like, who is he think he is? I would think the same thing. But you want me to tell you why they did that? God's always got a reason. He wasn't exalting Gideon. He gave the dream about Gideon. All of them heard about Gideon. And he knew as soon as they heard Gideon's name, they was in trouble. Didn't have nothing to do with exalting Gideon. It's just the way that God got their attention in a dream. And God can do what he wants to do. And if God says the war cry is going to be shouting to the Lord and to Gideon, or the sword of the Lord and to Gideon, then guess what? That's what it should be. What if 299 of them would have said, well, I think it should be my name. Or I think the carpet should be this color. I would. Never mind. I'm staying serious. Y'all know what I'm saying. Are y'all not glad we don't have that mess around here? Hallelujah. I just tell JC, do what you want to do. They ain't going to bother you. I'm teasing. He said, watch me, he told them. Do what I do. I'll go to the edge of the enemy's camp, then do exactly as I do. I and everyone with me will blow our trumpets. Then blow your trumpets from your positions all around the camp and shout the battle cry for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the enemy's camp. It was about 10 o'clock at night. It was just after the guard had been changed. Gideon and his men blew their trumpets. They broke the jars that were in their hands. The three fighting groups blew their trumpets. They smashed their jars. They held their torches in their left hands. They held in their right hands the trumpets they were going to blow. Then they shouted the battle cry, a shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And each man stayed in his position around the camp. I want you to get a picture of this. 10 o'clock at night, they didn't have street lights. 10 o'clock at night, they're going to bed. They know the next morning, they're going to go out and do the same thing they've done for 7 years. They're going to go out and steal everything the Israelites have. That's what they thought. They're probably in their tents. The guards may be standing up watching around, but most of them are in their tents going to sleep. Y'all been out in the woods, man. When it's dark, it's dark. And I imagine it's pretty dark. And Gideon took his 100 men. 100 went this way and 100 went that way. I don't know how long it took them. But when they got there, Gideon said, do what I do. And I'm going to turn the lights out for a minute, okay? Is that all right? Y'all don't nobody be panicking. But it might have went a little bit like this. I blew that over all of y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Told y'all I'd never do anything that I told you that if you did it, I'd do it. I've been telling y'all to step out of your comfort zone. That is so out of my comfort zone. You know why? Because the last time I did it was during revival. We come back from Pensacola, Florida. They had this shofar, nobody could blow it. I used to play trumpet all the time. But what we found out through studying is if the shofar is not made for your lips, then you can't get it to blow. And guess what? That was not made for my lips. And the one in Tennessee was not made for my lips. So I come in that morning. I'll be honest with you. We was at church. We was in revival. And we was going to drive all the way that night, all the way home, and go to church that morning because we were so fired up, man. The Spirit of God had fallen on us. And so we drive all the way back from Pensacola. We get back at the church about 7:30 that morning. But on the way back, we went into the restroom. And there was a boy named David that half the time during the service, he was asleep. Blew my mind. This power of God moving. God changed my life at Friday night service. God changed my life down there. And then Saturday is when we had the baptism in the ocean. I told you I drew the line in the sand and said no more. All that stuff happened that weekend. And I was so frustrated with this guy because I'm thinking, you're going to come all the way down here and you're going to stink and sleep during the service. I was frustrated with him. And I done made up my mind if I got an opportunity, I was going to say something to him. So I'm in the restroom, using the restroom, and he comes up beside me. He says, the Lord spoke to me and told me you're supposed to blow the shofar this morning. I looked at him. I said, man, you fell and bumped your head. You've been sleeping during the service. You think I'm going to believe it? God spoke to you? Yeah, right. That's what I told him. Get back to the service that morning. We get in real early, and so we just all go to church. We're ready to go. And Shelly comes up. I love Shelly. Shelly taught me more about the Spirit of God than anybody ever did. And Shelly comes up and she says, you're supposed to blow the shofar this morning. I said, you're right. She says, that's right. So I take it and I start trying to practice with it. There ain't nothing coming out. Ain't nothing coming out. She said, you're supposed to blow it this morning. I said, man, I can't get nothing to come out. The hole's not right. It's not, it ain't happening. You're supposed to blow it this morning. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, like I did this morning. I told the Lord last week, if you get me a long shofar, I'll blow it, whether the hole's right or not, I'll blow it. I did. And I took that shofar, and they're singing that song, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm in thy holy mountain, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm. They run through the city, they run on the wall, great is the army that carries out his word. They run through the city, they run through the wall. Everybody's, woo, yeah. They're dancing. It was a little bit different, y'all. They was up front dancing all over the place. Amen. The Lord honors his voice, utters his voice before the army. The Lord utters his voice before the army. And then he'd say, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm in thy holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm and everybody's hallelujah shouting. And he sticks the microphone over here and I'll pff, pff, pff. I just looked at him, his face as red can be. You remember, don't you? I mean, what was I supposed to do? I told him it wouldn't stink and blow. So he says, Pastor Bill was good at this. He said, let's sing it again. Let's sing it again. So they blow the trumpet in, and I'm sitting there praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, come on, I look like a dang fool. But I'm doing it for you. I'm a fool for you, Jesus. When I told y'all I'd stand up here and spit nickels out of my mouth on my head, I'd do it. If he says do it, I'll do it. I don't care what it looks like to you. Pastor Bill, oh, there's all, everybody's shouting. And by this time, everybody's like, oh, God, they're praying for me like crazy. And for Pastor Bill, because he looked like he's about to have a stroke. I wanted to say, it's your wife. I didn't say I could do it. He didn't know that. So, man, they doing that, and they get there, and he brings that microphone over there, and I just like, Jesus. Boo-wood, boo-wood, boo-wood. They start doing that, and this guy in the back come run down to the altar, and the altar's filled up, and I'm like, whoo, I'm glad that worked out. I have been so nervous to do that, but it's all good because it don't matter. You just try your best. You do your best, and God will honor what you do. So I've been telling y'all that. So I just proved to you that you can overcome your fears. Fear's got to go. I told Glenna this morning, I reached over at her, and I said, I'm so stinking nervous. I ain't nervous to preach. I ain't nervous to sing. But to blow that thing right there in front of all y'all, it's probably going to be on Facebook. Look at this idiot. That's all right. I'm an idiot for Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine, though, that thing? I mean, you magnify that. But, oh, I better put the torch out. We're going to set the place on fire. Hallelujah. Man. I forgot. I'm sorry. I wonder the fire alarm didn't go off. Fire marshal showed up. What's going on here, old Pastor Scott acting stupid? Oh. Can you imagine, though, being asleep and they knew how to blow these things? I'm going to get me one that's going to fit my mouth, and I'm going to blow that thing. Because they blew it for the anointing, for battles, for all these awesome things. Man, it's awesome stuff that they do. And it's not just an Old Testament thing. I know there's some people that's like me that blowed it and sound like a dead cow. I don't want that. Amen? But can you imagine being there asleep? And you wake up and you see it, the lights all the way around you. They had these big torches. And then you start hearing it. They know what that shofar is. Some of you probably never heard a shofar. Trust me, they sound way better than that, okay? They heard all that. And they knew that a shofar was to sound the battle cry. And they knew that God had given them the dream about getting, gonna get them. God will confuse your enemy if you'll let him. God don't need you to confuse him. You're confused. He needs you to let him confuse him so you won't be confused. Y'all didn't get that, so I'm going to say it again. I don't even know where it come from, but I'm hoping the Holy Ghost will help me again. Some of y'all are confused, but God wants to confuse your enemy. Amen? When God confuses your enemy, then you won't be confused no more. Somebody write that down. That's pretty good. I ain't never heard that before. I'm sure some famous preacher said it. Kelly, if Kelly's back there, I'll say something sometimes that's really good, and Kelly sent me, well, such and such said this in 1874. I ain't never read his book, but he said it. I'm kidding. Kelly's a genius. Look here. It says they broke the jars of three fighting groups, blew their trumpets. They smashed their jars. They held their torches in their left hands. And in their right hands, the trumpets, the shofars that they blew, that they were going to blow. Then they shouted a battle cry, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each man stayed in his position around the camp. Listen to this. But all the Midianites ran away in fear. They were crying out as they ran. They didn't have to raise a sword. When I was talking a little while ago about being convinced, if we believe these stories are true, why are we afraid? How many of y'all face more people than you can count that have more camels? We face little bitty people that the devil uses, and God loves these people. We face people that the devil uses, and they just nip at us and nip at us, and we get all bent out of shape over that, man. Take authority over that mess. Take authority over the enemy. You have the power. God's given us the power to not put up with that mess. He says all the enemy were scattered. And then it says, when the 300 trumpets were blown, the Lord caused all the men in the enemy of the camp to start fighting one another. They attacked one another. That's what God will do. He'll get your enemies to attack each other instead of you. Right now, the enemy's got us attacking each other instead of him. Oh, y'all didn't hear that either. Right now, the enemy's got us attacking each other and not attacking him. Get focused. Know your enemy. Know who you are in Christ and know your enemy. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I bet you visitors are tripping. He says this. It says that when the 300 trumpets were blown, the Lord caused all the enemy or the Midianites, the enemy's camp, to start fighting one another. They attacked one another with their swords. The army ran away to Beth Shittah. I wasn't going to say that because I knew all y'all would probably laugh. You didn't, so let's move right along. Zerira. They ran all the way to the border of Abel Maholah. I love these names. Near Tabath. Israelites from the tribes of Naphtali, Asher, and all the Manasseh were called. They said they called them out, and they chased the Midianites. They defeated their enemy. Some of you need to defeat your enemy, but you need to let God give you the strategy to do it. Do you know the Bible says that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices? Don't get mad at me, but some of you fall for the same old thing over and 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 over. You ever seen that? That dog that's on this chain in the backyard, and he can only run one way, and he wears that path out, wears that path out, wears that. Some of you on the same path over and over and over. The devil uses the same trick every single time, the same person every single time, the same situation every single time, and you fall for it every single time. And God said, no, 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 no. This is how we fight our battles. You don't have to do that. You don't have to fall for that. Can I tell you something? Christians are not doormats. Christians are not doormats. Some of you feel like that because you're a Christian and because you're supposed to be Christ-like, and you are, that you're just supposed to take anything that anybody does to you. I'm not. Jesus didn't. He went in the temple and he made himself a rope, a whip, and he whooped them out of the temple. Bad Jesus. He got angry. Praise God. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Amen. I believe if they wouldn't have run out, he might have come. I know he couldn't sin. But I mean, he could have sinned, but he didn't sin. But they wouldn't have run out in a hurry. He might have got real close. Because he was mad. They was in his father's house. He said, my father's house is going to be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And you know what? When he comes back, when that trumpet sounds And if dead in Christ shall rise first, and all those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together, I believe the church is going to be slammed full of the same type of people. Yeah. Stay in your position. Stay in your position. Those that are in the military, they know that if they had a circle, if they had a certain position that they were in, if a couple people didn't get in the right position, guess what? You had a hole in your flank and people could come in and then they could kill you from the inside out. You stay in your position. Know who you are in Christ, the God of the impossible. And then shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of triumph. That's the last day. They shouted. Boy, I bet that's awesome, man. 300 people when it was down in a valley and it probably echoed like crazy. And I'm sure God put megaphones and microphones everywhere. We ain't the first ones that come up with that. I bet God had that thing. Whoa! I bet it was just blowing that place apart. Sound like it. Tommy loves it loud. It sounded like they had subs everywhere, boy. And they was gone. That's what God wants to do. Amen. Some of you thinking, that's pretty good preaching. That's pretty good preacher. When are you going to change? When are you going to draw a line in the sand and say no more? When are you going to quit letting the devil and his imps punk you down? When are you going to quit just coming to church? When you going to quit just coming to church and getting fed and then going out and doing your own thing? When you going to come to church and come into the house of God ready to worship, ready to praise the Lord, and then ready to serve, go out serving? You're supposed to come in and get filled up and go out and serve. I love you, and I want you to keep coming. But some of you need a swift spiritual kick up your rear. And you need to start serving and quit playing around. God's given you gifts, talents, and abilities, and you ain't doing nothing. Bad preacher. Bad. Who's this dude, man? Who's he think he is? I'm a child of the Most High God. And as long as you come to my church, you're going to hear the truth in love. In love. But some of you need to get with it. Time is short. We got people in here fighting. Some of you look at me, man, you need to get back to where you used to be. Some of you way back here and you're looking at me like you're mad at me. You need to get where you used to be. Quit making excuses about everything that's happened to you. Suck it up, buttercup, and move on with Jesus. Let him take care of all that stuff and get your fighting mode on. Some of you bunch of pansies. Come on. I mean, I ain't trying to be mean, but come on. Do something. Y'all heard me say it, so Jerry Clyer, I love him, man. They was out there and they hunting. And one of the Ledbetters, Bozell, whatever his name was up in a tree. And there was a coon up in there, and they thought it was a coon, but it wasn't no coon. And he said, shoot up amongst us. One of us needs some relief. There's some people in here that need some relief. They need you to pick up that prayer torch. They need you to pick up that studying torch. And they need to pick you to, don't. You need them to pick up that baby torch out there, don't you? And the cleaning torch. Saturday, this church should be full of people and everybody riding by. Wonder what they got going on at the church. Oh, they got a work day. They got that many people showed up for work. That's the way it should be. And if it ain't Sunday morning, it's going to be good and hot in here. I'm going to turn the dang air off. And I'm going to get about 20 torches. They ain't going to be tiki torches. And I'm going to fire you up. Some of y'all looking, well, I won't come Sunday neither. Well, you don't need to come if you feel that way. Stay at home. You ain't doing nothing anyway. Just stay at home. Oh, I need to stop, don't I? I love you. Hey, y'all, listen. Hang on. I love you. Tuesday's her birthday. Yeah. Hallelujah. You better love your wives. I love this woman. I'll fight you over her. You talk about me all you want. Talk about her and my daughter, you're probably going to get whooped. Or you're going to know I was there. Amen? Come on, guys. Would you want to stand before God? Don't nobody say anything. Bow your heads with me for a minute. I want to ask you a serious question. Would you want to stand before God this morning and have to give an account for what you've done for him and how you've used your life, how you've used your finances, how you've been to your family? And would you want, if you was to stand before God, and you could. See, if you're in here and you're thinking, man, there's all kind of stuff I would change. I'd want to really get involved and stuff. Do it. Do it. Just do it. Now's the time to change. Don't keep saying, well, I'm going to. What is it? They say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Man, you can't outserve God. You can't outgive God. You can't outbless God. His mercies are new every day. He loves you. He wants to fight your battles for you. He wants to go before you and just run them all out like he did the children of Israel. The promised land, he run all their enemies out. He would send hornets in there, all kind of locusts and everything. He'd run them out and clean the place up and then say, here you go, fellas, this is yours. That's what God has for you, the best. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. Who's going to claim it? God said he's given you gifts and talents and abilities to use for him. And you're going to stand before him. And you're going to give an account for how you've lived your life. Not for how I live mine. I'm going to give an account for how I live mine. And you're not judged according to me. And I'm not judged according to you. But church, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, you know, I know there's a million excuses. COVID's come and we can't. Come on, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? Because we were created to glorify God. What are you doing to glorify God? Let me tell you something. It's awesome that you come to church on Sunday morning. It is. I'm so glad you come. But if that's all you do is come to church on Sunday morning, you never do anything, you are not glorifying him. It don't glorify God for us to come to church. He likes it, I'm sure, but to glorify him is to show good works. The Bible says to let men see your good works so that they glorify the Father which is in heaven. I was talking to somebody this week, and I just went way back into my memory with them, and we talked about some intimate stuff that God had done in my life, and I shared. I told him straight up, I said, man, one thing that I don't believe God will ever be able to say. I know I've done a lot of stuff that I'm going to answer for, that whether it's under the blood. But Glenn and I both, ever since we got saved, when we did something for the church or for anything, we really tried to do the best we could. I can honestly say over prison ministry for those years, over all those things, I tried my best to be faithful. And I know, and I told this person this the other day. I said, don't give up on what you feel like God said to you. I said, you be faithful over those little bitty things, those things that nobody sees you do, that nobody comes and compliments you about, nobody pats you on the back. You be faithful because God sees those things, and he's storing them up, and God's going to bless you one day, and he has me. He's blessed me more than I could ever imagine. When I sing that song, I see the evidence of his goodness. My whole life is God's goodness. My whole life is the evidence of his goodness. And anybody that knows me, and there's some people in here that grew up with me, they know that my life is the evidence of God's goodness and of a praying mom and a praying dad. So I love you enough to just kind of push you in that direction. Do something for the Lord. You may say, well, cleaning the church or being out in the nursery, that really, that is huge to him. You're being a servant. He said, the greatest among you will be my servants. God, I pray for a servant's heart. I pray for some Gideons, Lord, that would be mighty men and women of God, men of valor, redoubtable, hallelujah, one to be greatly feared by the enemy. Hallelujah. Tommy's going to sing. If you got anything you want to come pray about, it doesn't matter what it is. If you want to come pray and just give some things to the Lord or ask Him to do some things in your life, whatever it is. Gideon, listen to me for 1 second. Gideon told his people that he was over, that God put him over. He said, do what I'm doing. Church, I'm going to tell you just like Paul said. Paul said, do as I do. Follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. If you see me messing up, if you see me doing things that I shouldn't do or whatever, please don't watch me crash and burn, but don't put me on a pedestal. You follow me as I follow Christ. If I quit following Christ and His teaching and His word, you quit following me. But do as I do. Worship, praise, pray, trust, witness, love people. Just try to do whatever God tells you to do with the best of your ability. Be a blessing to others, or try to be a blessing to others. I want to try to at least be a blessing to others. God always blesses you more. Are you sold out? Are you convinced? See, when Gideon heard that dream, he's convinced. Maybe you've heard something today and you're like, man, that's it. I'm convinced. This is what I got to do. This is what I'm going to do. Then I say, go for it. Go for it. With everything that's within you, go for it. And you watch what God does. Tommy's going to sing. If you want to come, come.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Whoa.
I want you to listen for a second. Gideon told him to get up and let's go down. Sometimes when the Spirit is moving with you, I know it's okay. Sometimes you sit in your seat and pray to whatever. Sometimes He said, come to this altar. I'm not begging you to do that. I mean, I am, but I'm not. I mean, the Bible says to beseech them, to beg them to come. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm just saying, if you feel in your spirit that you're supposed to come, just come. There's no telling what God's going to do in your life. So be obedient to that call. He said, get up. If they wouldn't have got up, then they wouldn't have had but 100 maybe to go, or 150. You know, are you in your position? If God's telling you to get up right now through the Holy Spirit and come down here and pray, it may not even be for you. It may be for somebody else. I've had that happen before. You move because you feel impressed to move. And then somebody else on the other side of the church said, I was watching you. And I said, Lord, if they move, I'm going to move. And they did. So that's awesome as a fleece. I'm just saying, sometimes you just got to get up. If He says get up and come, come.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. In every war He wages, He will win. So I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I gave my testimony about 4 weeks ago, and I've just been beaten down spiritually ever since then. It's like, it's kind of like being caught in a wave and you just can't catch your breath. So anyways, I couldn't remember scripture to pray. I just was like to the point where I was like, God, just help me. That's all I knew to pray is just help me. And so then I was hearing a prophetic speaker say, God doesn't really respond so much to just help me over and over. He responds more to his word, pray his word. So I started asking the Holy Spirit to remind me of scriptures to pray that was relevant to my life, because I just didn't know what to do. I was drowning again. And I felt like I was in a fight for my soul. So then yesterday I heard in my spirit, as long as you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And God really has crumbled a mountain for me this morning. Because as we was worshiping, and the Holy Spirit just came on me, and I haven't been able to press in and feel his presence for about a month now. And I just missed it. So anyways, I heard him speak to me in my spirit. I've been praying. I did before I got to where I couldn't pray anything, but just help me. I was praying for God's favor and his blessing. And so in my spirit this morning during worship, I heard him say to me, I have poured my favor out on you. I have poured my blessing out on you. I, the Lord your God, have protected you. I, the Lord your God, hold you in my righteous right hand. You are mine and I am yours. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will succeed as long as you are in me, because I go before you to clear the path to victory. And I needed that. That was my breakthrough. And then it just so happened, Pastor Scott was preaching what he was preaching, and the songs, the evidence is here. It's just here.
Hallelujah. Confirmation. Amen. You keep fighting. I told her, I said, when you testify, man, the devil don't like it, and he's going to come against you. And he has a lot of people. But you know what? Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to be disrespectful for those praying, but I want you to stretch your hands towards the front here. Father, we bless all those that have come this morning. God, we cover them in prayer. God, for those that have come back to you, God, I thank you for that. You said you're married to the backslider, and I thank you for that. For those, Lord, that need help just with any situation, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would minister to them and give them that help. God, I pray for those that have prayed for boldness and prayed to be a better witness and prayed to be a better this or that. God, I pray that you would do that in their life too. God, I pray over every single person that's listening to the sound of my voice. God, that you bring freedom and victory in their life. You want to bring victory. Every victory is yours. You never lose a battle. Never. So God, please help your people to trust you. Help us to walk in your favor. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to be obedient. Help us to stay in our position, Lord. God, help us to worship you like Gideon did. Help us to shout with the voice of triumph like Gideon did. And we will see the victory. The victory is already yours. It's ours. When we're walking in you, it's ours. And I give you praise for it. Don't mean we won't get battles. Don't mean fear won't try to come, but fear can't stay. In your presence, fear cannot stay in your presence. And I give you praise for that, for setting your people free. God, we love you. We honor you. And I ask you, Lord, as we send our people out, God, that they would love those that others don't love. They'd reach those that others deem unreachable. They would help equip the saints to do the work of the gospel, and they'd be found faithful serving you when you come back. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can stay and pray as long as you want. Hey, guys, listen, the new members thing, just the visitors thing. Y'all come out here where we can meet you right quick. It won't take just a few minutes. We love you guys. Don't forget about Wednesday night. And please don't forget about Saturday. The sign-up sheet's right out there. Please sign up.